listening to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch, episode 556. My name's Dave, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Wayne as we reach the end of our journey with the Netflix speculative series Black Mirror. Speaking of Black Mirrors, no, this has nothing to do. It's just a terrible segue.
Nine times out of ten, it works, Dave, but sometimes it just, you can't work it.
I know. Well, you'll know where I was trying to go. We are recording this week on a Tuesday, the day after Eclipse Monday. And here in Maryland, you know, it was basically told to us that you're going to have about an 89% total eclipse. And I'm thinking, like, all right, 89% total eclipse, it's going to get pretty noticeably dark.
No,
not at all. I mean,
yeah. Well, it did, but that's only because there were clouds.
Yeah.
Like, I went outside, like, oh, man, it's so much darker. I'm like, oh, it's because the clouds are blocking the sun.
Yeah, so it was kind of a disappointment. Now, by the time I decided to go try and find eclipse glasses, of course, no one had them. I would have even been willing to pay for them, but, you know, the library advertises they have them. Fortunately, as you know, I'm very close to the Finksburg branch. No, sorry, we don't have them, and Westminster doesn't have them, and Liberty doesn't have them. I'm not trying.
You could get them on Amazon with some for like $20.
Yeah, I've seen you know, several in my lifetime, and hopefully I'll still be around when the next one hits in 2044. Right. So anyway, we will see. All right. Anyway, just a reminder, we typically record on Monday, so feedback's got to be in Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Sci-Fi TV Rewatch at gmail.com is the way you can reach us. All right. Let me go ahead and go first and get this out of the way for what I'm watching, because I'm holding my head partially in shame. Every once in a while, we end up watching.
Hold on. Let me get my knives out. Time to do some carving.
It's a Netflix show that, you know, may or may not, probably hasn't popped up in your feed, because it's a Turkish show with an English title, As the Crow Flies. And I've mentioned before, my wife and I really have an affinity for Turkish shows. There's something about the dynamic, the sensibility, even the language we really enjoy. I've mentioned the show called The Tailor. The Gift, which is certainly a genre show, and I just think is outstanding. Shyamalan, which is sort of a fantasy series. But that's not what As the Crow Flies is all about. It's as much soap opera as serious drama, but, dude, it's like any number of addictive drugs. Once you're in, you can't look away. And that's where we got, you know, it's like four episodes in, and, you know, there's all kinds of voiceover, and the voiceover, you know, if you needed something to teach metaphor to average students, their use of metaphor is so blatantly obvious that it's painful. But anyway, so it follows this highly respected female veteran news anchor and then the young upstart who's willing to cut corners to take her job. But, dude, it's like any of a number of Lifetime movies where the evil babysitter, the evil ex-wife, the evil whoever comes on. And part of the problem, nudity is at a very low level. Violence, very low level. There's one good fight between the older news anchor and her, you know, upstart that's trying to take her job. That was a pretty good fight. Cursing, I mean, when you're watching it in the original Turkish, fine, it says a curse word on the subtitles, right, but it doesn't have the impact.
Sure.
On the other hand, everybody, male and female, is really attractive. So there is that. The clothing is great. And, you know, so we finished two seasons. The third season is dropping Thursday. So, dude, you know what we're going to be watching. Anyway, that's my admission. I am a Netflix addict, and my name is Dave. All right, what do you got?
Okay. Well, I guess we're not talking about three body problem again, so we'll push that till. Have you even made any progress on that, Dave?
Have not. No.
Okay. Too busy watching Turkish shows.
That's yes, right. Exactly.
Okay. The finale for Resident Alien was this past week, and it was good. You know, again, I really enjoy Resident Alien, and you know, it's silly and funny, and the characters are really likable and everything. So blah blah blah. Talked about before. Oh my god, love the ending of The Good Place. That show was awesome. I'm so like bummed that I finished it. There's like times when you like, because you know, like a show you really like, and it's like this dynamic of, you know, I want to watch the next one, but maybe I should hold back a little bit because I'm going too fast and everything. But The Good Place was awesome. I should have watched it when you first recommended it all the way back when it was actually on TV. But really liked it, and I feel like they really kind of stuck the landing with the ending of it, which not a lot of shows do. But I haven't read anything about it, but I assume that they like completely planned out this, like, was it four seasons, right?
Four. I can't remember whether it's four or five.
I think it's four.
Okay.
It was definitely not five. I'm pretty sure it's four.
Okay.
And it feels like it was completely planned out, and they told a complete story from the beginning to end. So, yeah, that's never a bad thing, right? We last week actually watched what I thought I might be announcing as the movie that has now displaced all others as the worst movie in the MCU history, but I was pleasantly surprised that I really enjoyed The Marvels. I thought it was, you know, again, all criticism of MCU movies nowadays, I feel you. I get it. They're certainly not killing it like they did back in the, you know, Captain America Civil War days. But I found The Marvels a very enjoyable movie. I thought it was good, and you know, it wasn't great, but you know, it kept me involved and everything. It was short, Dave. You like it? It was shorter than usual. It was only like 90 minutes, which my daughter was appalled at. She thought it was way too short, but I thought it was great. So
it's like the length of a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, right. And last but not least, I have started watching Loudermilk, which I don't know if that has popped up on your feed for Netflix, but it's Ron Livingston is playing a recovering alcoholic who leads a support group with other recovering addicts. And he's somehow, you know, in a very zany way, has to bring in this lady's daughter and kind of keep her sober and everything. And she's, you know, way younger. Like, there's no romantic energy between them at all. But, you know, they obviously do develop a friendship-like relationship. So it's very funny, but it's, like, definitely dark humor. And also kind of can get to be very depressing because almost all the characters are people struggling with recovering from addiction. And not that that's a depressing thing. I mean, that's a great thing. If you're struggling with addiction and you're conquering it and you're doing what needs to be done and going to groups, that is awesome. But some of the stories of the people of how they got to where they are can be pretty sad and everything. But overall, pretty decent. I'll probably keep up with it, though. You know, as Fred points out, Star Trek Discovery is on now, and I probably should get on that. So,
all right. Sounds good. Let's get to Black Mirror. Bandersnatch, written by Charlie Brooker, directed by David Slade, released December 28, 2018. And apparently there wasn't a whole lot of pre-publicity when this actually dropped. Of course, I wasn't paying any attention.
No, it just kind of like popped up. I remember because it just kind of popped up. Well, which Black Mirror tends to do, especially I don't really like read stuff and keep up on when new seasons, but Black Mirror always takes me by surprise. Like, just one day, it'll be like, Black Mirror, new episodes. I'm like, whoa. And that way, Bandersnatch just kind of popped up. You know, new episode, Black Mirror, Bandersnatch. So I'm like, cool. You know, so. How much did you crap when you saw the running time said 5 hours, 12 minutes?
Well, you know what? I didn't even notice that.
Okay.
But I'll go ahead and start off by using what I used to have as the signature in my email at work. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Oh, boy. Okay, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. So, look, you and I have been podcasting together since 2012. We've been friends a lot longer than that. So I can, you know, I think sure. I can comfortably... I won't say I hated this episode, but I was really glad when it was over. And in no way was I going to start over, make different choices, and see if there was a different outcome. But the thing that was most aggravating for me was that you couldn't see the time code at the bottom of the screen. You know, the way you can for any movie right. or TV episode, you know how far into the episode you are. Now, I understand in retrospect why that is, because there is no one time code. And it's my understanding that the shortest version was about 40 minutes and the longest was 90. I would guess the one I had was about maybe 50 to 55. I mean, it certainly wasn't 90, which is what I was expecting. And I'm not sure why I was expecting 90 minutes. Maybe I read that somewhere. But
I think that if I remember reading, that's kind of the average time that someone spends on the watch through. That's include like kind of like sometimes you'll get kind of to the end of a story, but not really. And it'll offer you to go back to a previous choice or something like that. The first time I watched it back in 2018, I don't know how long. And I remember I also watched it with my wife later. But this time, I think probably the first time I sat down, I probably watched it for like 2 hours the first time. And that's kind of going back. I didn't go all the way back to the very beginning. But then last night, I rewatched and I started right from the beginning, made some different choices early on to see if that would, you know, make a difference in the stories I got. But I ended up, I don't think I came across any newer endings last night than I did. But the night before, I think, I was reading online, there's like really five endings. And all five of those that they mentioned, I totally saw each of those.
Okay. And that's, according to Netflix, there are five main endings. I don't know, you know, they have main in quotation marks. So I don't know if there are like,
right, well, other, like other the one where Stefan and Colin, Colin says one of us is going to jump. And the first time, I'm like, well, I'm going to pick Colin because I feel like if I pick Stefan, that's going to be it. And so the first time Colin jumps, then the story continues. Last night, I wanted to go through and see what happened if I had Stefan jump, and that he just died. That was it. But it wasn't the ending. You know, there weren't credits or anything like that. It brought you back so you could make a different choice. I think it took you all the way back to whether to go in the Dr. Haynes office or not or something like that. So
yeah, I think at that point I chose Stefan, hoping that would be the end of it. But but yeah, I mean, we've got a psychological thriller that focuses on the whole free will is an illusion storyline, which I think to a certain extent, it's fair to say it's been done to death. And I guess I look at this episode as format over content. Is it a cool technological endeavor on Charlie Brooker's part? Yeah, of course it is. But I don't think everybody wants to watch something where they constantly have to make choices. I mean, at the beginning where it was kind of cool and obviously so different, I was writing down, okay, first choice, I'm going to go with the Frosted Flakes. And then
apparently like 70% of the people do.
Really? Okay. Yeah. And I of course picked Tangerine Dream when that came up. But after a while, I'm like, you know what? I don't care anymore. So I stopped writing them down. So I don't know how much that has to do with it. But, you know, it takes place in the mid-80s, July 9th, 1984. We're introduced to this young guy, Stefan. Is his first name pronounced Fionn? I'm not sure.
Stefan.
No. The actor. Finn?
Finn.
Whitehead, yeah. Who was, of course, in Dunkirk.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. And he's living with his dad, and he's preparing for this meeting to sell his idea to an interactive video game company based on a dark fantasy written by this guy who eventually beheads his wife. And, of course, you know, the parallels to what's going on in, you know, his game, his real life, and, you know, this guy that wrote the original novel are, you know, unmistakable, which is fine. I actually like that aspect of it. Sure. Did you notice the name of the software company?
Tuckersoft?
Yeah, which then goes back to, and I forget the name of the episode, with the TCKR, with the, you know, Tucker Industries, and then Tucker's was the name of the bar.
The San Junipero?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I didn't catch that, but there is, and I think maybe it's Fred, I can't remember if it's Fred or Alan that said it, but how, I believe it was Alan, that, it was definitely Alan, sorry, that Colin's game is Metalhead, which we did not watch that episode, but it is another Black Mirror episode. And then the game Colin's currently working on is called Nosedive. So both of those games were definite shout outs to Black Mirror episodes.
Right. They spell it like N-O-H-S or something like that. Unusual spelling. But of course, this lead designer Colin is sort of a legend in the video game industry. And of course, Stefan holds him in high regard and can't believe that he's not only that he's going to get to meet him, but he's going to get to work with him. And of course, actually then ends up at the dude's apartment. Again, is a pretty interesting twist to the storyline. But the owner of the software company, you get the idea, he doesn't have a clue about computers computer design. He just knows what sells, and he knows to which horse he wants to affix his wagon. And he makes the right choice with Colin.
Well, but not with Stefan so much, though.
Yeah, right.
And that's funny because, like, I bet you, I would say about 90% of the people hit that first dead end, which is basically he goes into Tuckersoft, and Mr. Tucker says, okay, we got this whole team ready to work for you. We're going to make this game happen. Do you want to work with us? And, of course, everyone's going to say, well, yeah, right? And you say yes, and Colin pats him on the shoulder and says, you made the wrong choice. And of course, we reach a dead end like 5 minutes later because they rushed the game too much. We see the first of that nerdy kid reviewing the game, gives it a crap review, and then we have to go back. Of course, this time we say, we're going to tell, you know, Mr. Tucker no, because he's got to go home and go crazy, descend into insanity as he tries to put this game together under the pressure.
Right. Now, I made the choice to work at home. And, you know, of course, then I'm thinking like,
that's a very you choice, Dave.
And I'm thinking, all right. And I even have in my notes, well, he could have worked with Colin, but that's interesting to hear that's Colin's reaction to that choice. And then we see Stefan with his therapist, and we learn that his mom died when he was 5 in this train derailment, you know, and that whole idea that, well, she took a later train because he held her up looking for a stuffed toy. And, you know, of course he feels guilty, and that's understandable, you know, that he would feel that way. But
he doesn't actually feel guilty, right? He blames his dad.
Well, right for hiding the toy.
He's 19 years old, and he still blames his dad for it because he, you know, his dad's the one who hid the rabbit. So right there is a pretty big insight into Colin's character, right?
Yeah.
Not Colin, sorry, Stefan's.
Right, and I again, I love the, you know, Lewis Carroll illusion with, you know, of course, in this case, the rabbit. And then, of course, once he goes to Colin's apartment, and I guess Colin first, it's like, here, do you want to smoke? And he's like, well, I never have. And then, of course, you know, I thought, all right, well, he'll be okay. And then, of course, he slips him a tab of acid or, you know, whatever it is. I guess probably mid-80s.
It was acid for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that's actually the main reason I watched it again last night, because the first time through, I was like, all right, yeah, take the drugs, sure. And then I went through all kinds of stories. Then I was wondering, okay, what would have happened if he doesn't take the acid? And so I said, don't take the acid. And Colin goes and slips it in his drink anyway. So no matter what you choose there, it's going to take you down that same path.
See, I can't remember. I was thinking the choice was just whether to smoke or not, but it was actually whether to take the acid. Because in the version I had, he, you know, gave it to him unbeknownst to Stefan. So,
right. So that's, you said for Stefan not to take the acid.
Okay.
And then Colin slips it to him anyway.
Right.
And the first one, when I first did it, I said, take it. And so but it's the same. They then go out, you know, Colin goes on that big rant about the government and everything. And then they end up out on the balcony, and then you have to choose which of them jumps.
Right. And like I said, I picked Stefan, hoping that would be it. Now, his father, played by Craig Parkinson, who, as soon as I saw his father, I'm like, dude, I know, you know, he was in Line of Duty, which is, you know, one of these UK crime shows, huge show. I'm probably one of the top rated shows in the UK when it was on the air. Also, another UK show called Whitechapel, which, as you might imagine, takes place in the area of London. I guess it's London. Where Jack the Ripper. Right.
Yeah.
But it's in contemporary times, but still. And his father's really...
Well, we saw that in Bodies, right?
Sure, right.
That's where everything was taking place in Whitechapel.
Right. His dad's an interesting character, and I don't know that we're completely surprised once we learn what's behind that locked door, because it's pretty clear, you know, a father doesn't lock one of the rooms in the house from a teenager.
If he's got all his porn in there.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like you get it if you have, you know, really young kids, you know, where parents have to, you know.
Like if you have guns or shit. Like
right. But even, you know, these little devices to lock the kitchen drawer so they don't get in there and grab a knife or a fork or whatever. Yeah. So you understand that, but this is a teenager. This is somebody that's gone to a major software company with an idea that has a legitimate chance of, you know, progressing, which of course it does. So once we see his father locking that door, all right, well, what's in there? And then, of course, once we get in that room, and then the big reveal, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, certainly an X-Files conspiracy flavor to it, which, you know, I'm always going to be on board.
Well, that's
with
one of them. That's a big turning point, because depending on the earlier choices you make, it gives you different choices to make when you get there. So, like, the first time I did, I could choose either PAX or PAC as the code, and I think I picked PAC. And so last night I was trying to get back to where it would let me choose PAX, but I couldn't do it. So I don't know what I've read that what happens when you go down that line, but I couldn't get there again. Probably because I went with the compilation and the Sugar Puffs rather than the Frosted Flakes and the Thompson Twins early on.
And we've certainly seen, you know, this aspect of the storyline. Not that his father is a psychologist, but certainly close enough. The psychologist parent that raises his or her child as part of an experiment and documents everything, and certainly it's horrific when you think about it. And so we don't know I don't think we know who's actually behind the program and control. I mean, I guess the government, I'm making air quotes here.
But even there, we don't know, like, all of this is so subjective because, like, that's why I would argue, Dave, that you did it wrong, that you should have kept going and just followed a bunch of different paths, because the more you keep, like, going back and making different choices and going different directions, you really end up getting into this, like, this swirl of madness that Stefan is. And there's the – I don't know if you – so tell me what ending you got when you went down that line with the program and control line.
All right. So, okay, let me get to the end here. So he tells his therapist that he stripped down the game, giving the player the illusion of free choice. I decide the ending. And then the camera zooms out to show papers taped all over Stefan's room, including the ceiling. And of course, he's already sliced up his father, and we see his father's head on the cabinet.
Okay.
You know, certainly not unlike, you know, that of the Bandersnatch author after killing his wife.
Right.
The credits come on, and then that same reviewer that we saw earlier now gives Bandersnatch 5 stars, and the reporter mentions his killing his father. And then, of course, when the news hits, copies of the game are destroyed. And, you know, then there's, I guess, we're, I guess, in a contemporary setting, and there's a young woman.
It's Colin's daughter.
Oh, okay. I don't know if we knew. She just says she found the game in her father's things, which I didn't put two and two together. I just thought her father was a gamer. And
they tell us her. Okay, I can't say I actually figured that out myself. I read that online.
Okay,
but they do tell us her name, and if we were paying attention earlier, see, even now I can't remember what the baby's name was.
But, okay.
So yeah, it's her. It's okay. Colin's daughter now as an adult,
and that makes sense since she's got the tapes of Stefan's surveillance when he was a child. So you know, unless she bought those at a yard sale, that seems to make more sense. But anyway, that's the ending that I got.
Okay. So there's one ending when you go down the program and control direction. That he ends up actually he goes, I think he goes through a mirror. Did he ever go through a mirror on any of the ones you did?
No.
So he goes through the mirror and he becomes his younger self, right? So then he goes through, fine, we see his dad actually dosing like cookies, triggering him to get upset. And then we see that his dad puts a blindfold on him, leads him down the hall. And we see that his room is a studio, and that his mother comes in and she says, come with me. He's like, no, I got to find my rabbit, blah, blah, blah. She leaves. And then we see Stefan watching this from an so he's supposed to be the kid. Like when he climbed through the mirror, he turned into his younger self, but then he's watching then outside, watching his younger self there in the studio. And he's outside of it. So, again, really makes this question, is any of this stuff actually happening? Is this any of this real, or is this just Stefan going crazy?
Okay, now, you, in terms of his childhood, and so when you say the question is what's real and what's not real, I mean, are you talking about him remembering his childhood and, you know, the day, you know, that his mother dies because he delayed her, or, I mean, exactly?
In this one ending, he is like actually physically standing out up on like a, I don't know what they call those things that the crew stands on with all the lights above. Catwalk.
Okay.
Right. And so he's up there on the catwalk, looking down at a TV set with him as a child in there acting out what his memory of his mom leaving and him being unable to find the rabbit, delaying his mom, and then her leaving and then apparently, you know, dying after that. So I think just right in that moment, it's we're clearly meant, I think, meant to question, is Colin actually discovering this terrible secret of himself? Is this a metaphorical, like, shot, right? Is he having, like, kind of an alibi experience, or is he really, like, completely separated, just imagining all of this stuff?
So then are you suggesting that one of the ways to view this is that it's all in his head?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think they push that much. I think it's just that one scene. Like, and you might, you could, like, you didn't get that ending. There's probably loads of people who just didn't get that ending. So if you don't see that ending, you would probably not really question whether he is actually uncovering a government conspiracy or not.
Okay, so do we question whether or not his father actually subjected him to this testing as he was growing up, or do we assume that's real?
Well, again, I mean, there's some versions of the government control path that don't make me question, but and then that one that does. Okay. So it depends on what choices you make and what, you know, what, you know, where you end up going down, what path you end up going down. Because there's another one on that. So you can choose, like, it's this whole thing of he gets the rabbit back, right? And so he goes through the mirror, becomes his younger self, gets the rabbit, and then there's a path where he then puts it, you know, he gets it back. So when he goes to find it, he finds it, right? So when his mother's like, we got to leave, he finds it. And then the mother says, oh, well, you've taken too long. We're going to have to take a later train. So then you have a choice then of whether to go with her or not. So the first time I did go with her, and this was probably the freakiest ending that I came across, because so he goes with his mom on the train. You see him on the train. And they're taking the 845 train, so this is the one that she dies on. Now he's going to die too. And then they cut to it, and Stefan has died in Dr. Haynes' office. And that's the last scene. And then they cut to the credits. So, you know, so again, that is definitely that, so that, I think, also supports that all this stuff is going on in his head.
Okay. Because otherwise he would have died in the train derailment, right, which he clearly did not.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Or did he die the train derailment before? I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's part of, I think, what I like about Bandersnatch is how they tie in all this meta aspects of how, as like you said, right, that there's the game and what's going on in his life, what's going on in Jerome F. Davis's life, and all of that stuff kind of really matches. And then there's that idea of, like, who's controlling me? Like, I don't know if you went down any of the Netflix ones, but there's ones where he goes to the computer. The computer says, well, I'm watching you on Netflix. I'm controlling everything that you do. And he's like, what's Netflix? You know, and everything. and it's really, really, that's probably the wildest ending. And then his dad comes in and he's like, what's going on? He's like, I'm being controlled by someone in the future. And the dad says, would you like me to call Dr. Haynes? Yes, please. Like, right away, which is there's not a lot of humor in this, but that's a funny line. And then he goes to Dr. Haynes' office and she says, basically, like, not unlike what I was saying, I think, last week about how, so if this is meant to be entertaining, why aren't you in a more entertaining scenario? Like, you're here in a normal office talking to a normal person. And then she says, you know, you would think if you were on a TV show, there would be more action. And then she's like, do you want more action? And then it gives you two choices, which is yes and fuck yes. And so you pick one of them and they get in a fight. They start fighting. She pulls out two, like, sticks and it's hilarious. And then, like, you know, so then it leads you to another path. You can choose for him to keep fighting or to jump out a window. And if you keep fighting, then his dad comes in and grabs him. Then you get to choose whether to, like, hit dad or kick him in the nuts. I chose kick him in the nuts.
Of course.
And right, this obvious, like, she's not going to make that choice. And then they end up actually dragging him. The dad drags him out of the office. He's screaming. Now, the other choice, if you decide to go out the window, he goes to a window. He tries to open it. It doesn't open. He goes to another. It doesn't open. Then someone says, cut. And then all of a sudden, they're on a set in a studio. And all you see all the actors he was just fighting with. They get their coffee. They're just sitting around. And, you know, a grip comes up to him and calls him Mike. And he says, no, I'm Stefan. And then the grip goes, okay. He gets on his walkie-talkie. He's like, hey, we need some help over here. You know?
I wouldn't have minded that one. I never saw that.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. You just had to keep exploring, man. There's like some crazy stuff out there. But like the Netflix choices are all ended up being very kind of cool, clever endings and everything. I don't know if I could ever get back to it. Actually, I do know because I did last night. I went back and watched again and probably watched for like an hour and a half last night. And I was able to get back to those same endings there again. But like I said, it's like this whole choice after choice. You just feel like, especially after a while, if you watch it for like 2 hours and you get to like your brain really starts to scramble and you're just feeling like, you know, I don't even know what's real. Like Colin jumps off of the building, right? And then if you keep going back and playing and, you know, when they offer to take you back to it, you go back. Well, then all of a sudden Colin's in the scene again because
So that's what you did. So in other words, you would do things like have Colin jump, and then when he jumps, okay, and then you would go back because you have the opportunity to make that choice again. Is that what you're saying?
Not that choice, but based on further choices, then you would end up there. There's one I can't remember how I got there, where he goes in on September 12th. And Colin's there. Colin's totally alive because Mr. Tucker says, hey, Colin, can you go help him out? So Colin goes to help him. And at this point, Stefan's already killed his father. Colin goes to help him. And then it gives you a choice of letting Colin go or killing Colin.
Okay. See, for me at that point, they're boxing up Colin's new game, but Colin's AWOL. Turns out the game's not stable that's Stefan's game that's not stable and he gets the weekend to fix it. But Stefan has left the VHS tape for him something Davies or
Jerome F. Davies.
But you know, you have that opportunity, right? Because you can see at the bottom of the screen, I think, where you can kind of go back and make the choices again that you've already made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like there's the one where he has a choice of either throwing the tea on his computer or yelling at his dad.
Right.
And if you pick throwing the tea, it kind of ends right there because he destroys the computer and that's it. So then it offers you to go back and make that choice again. And you can go back and choose this time to yell at dad, and which dad takes him to the doctor's office, where he can choose either to go to the doctor or he can follow Colin and everything like that.
I mean, I started getting the whole time loop Groundhog Day vibe, but yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, yes and no. So,
well,
I don't know.
The more you watch it, the more you definitely get that, because there's a lot of times where you make a choice and something happens that he just wakes up and Frankie goes to Hollywood playing relax again. And it's the morning of the 19th. Again, like, you know, like all of a sudden he just wakes up after something, you know, something happens or whatever. He just wakes up the next day and then it does like a really like kind of like montage quick to scoot you through. Instead of making you watch and make all these choices again, it just kind of scoots you through to where you have to make like the big choice or whatever.
All right. What else you got?
Just the meta aspects of it, I thought were great. He's the one scene in one choice. He's talking to Dr. Haynes and he says, I feel like I'm not in control. It's like the little choices that I'm making. You know, Collins saying how Pac-Man is a metaphor. It's not a happy game. It's a fucking nightmare world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great. Oh, the white bear glyph, which I don't know if you got to a point where that is actually one of your choices on the computer when he says, "There's." I don't know if you got to that scene where he's like sitting in front of the computer. He's like, "Who are you? What do you want?" Like, or something like that. And then on the computer, you get to choose what pops up. So one of them is like Netflix. One of them's the white bear glyph. One of them is, which the white bear one, I think, takes you down the government control. Or no, the PAX takes you down. So PACS is another choice. I think PAX, P-A-X, is another choice that comes. So, again, it depends. And actually, I was reading about it. And honestly, picking the type of cereal you pick and then whether you pick the Thompson twins or the compilation, that actually impacts later choices. Like you, like, and I think it's just really mostly when what pops up on his computer screen at that point. And then when he gets to his dad's office, the passwords you can pick, you can key in. Like I said, the one time we got PAC and PAX, that chick picked PAC. The next time it's like PAC and TOY. I got a bunch of different choices later, but I could never get back to the PAX. So I don't know what that does there. But there, even the Dr. Haynes at one point says, you know, even if it's the same choice you've made before, there might be different results later, right? So she's basically telling us, even if you've picked, like, you know, whatever, like there's one, he can either pull his earlobe or bite his nails, and that each of those obviously leads down different paths and everything. So it's you would think the innocuous choices, like breakfast or what he's going to listen to or which record he's going to buy in the record store, that those would not really matter, but apparently they do. You know, when the that was actually kind of funny, is when he kills his dad and then offers you bury him or cut him up. And, you know, I think I picked bury him the first time. And then I got to it again. And I said, cut him up. And he just goes, he like sighs. He goes, really? You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I picked cut him up.
Yeah, yeah. So he's that was hilarious. I thought it was so funny. I mean, cutting up your dad is not funny. But the fact that he's like, you know, realizing at this point now that he is being controlled. So that one that you saw where he gets a 5 out of 5 on Bandersnatch, that's the only one I came across where Bandersnatch, he nailed it, right? Every other one, Bandersnatch is a failure. Like at best, he gives it, I think one thing, he gives it like a 2.5 just because of the morbid curiosity because he killed his dad, like the knowledge that he killed his dad. And that was like the best score that I saw Bandersnatch get, except for the, as you said, the one. You know, like I obviously feel differently about it. I knew this was going out on a limb, kind of. I guess, Dave, I would say I wasn't expecting you to like this. I was maybe hoping that you might, but like knowing that you probably wouldn't.
But that said, I'm glad I finally got to see it. Because
right.
I understood that it was considered important in the television world, I suppose even the film world as well, because I guess technically it is a film. I don't know. It doesn't matter whether it's a TV episode or a film. But, I'm certainly glad I have saw it.
Yeah. Well, it, you would think, right? I think at the time I seem to remember that thinking that, loads of people are going to be doing this now, right? We're going to be getting every show is going to have a choose your own adventure episode. And I think the only one, and I still haven't watched the standalone movie after the end of, or maybe it might be the last episode of The Adventures of Kimmy Schmidt. The last episode / movie is a choose your own adventure one that I have yet not gone down that path. So I think basically, you know, while at the time I was expecting that loads of people were going to be doing this, really no one's done it since. And when the more I think about the complexity of writing an episode like this and producing and all the shooting and all the technical aspects of, you know, the paths and the choices and everything like that, it's probably just way more effort than it's worth, right? Exactly. But I think Bandersnatch is pretty well. The story itself is not a great story, right? I think that's It's the thing. And maybe one day I'll go back and just not make any choices and let it go and see where it takes me. The story itself is really not that great. And honestly, we don't really care about Stefan that much as a character, because when he's punished, in jail, we see he deserved that. You know, he killed his dad, killed Colin the one time, you know. I've never really got any kind of sympathy for him. As the kid says in one thing, it's kind of like the morbid curiosity of watching someone just kind of totally descend into madness. I think that's probably all I got there, Dave.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to listener feedback. We'll be right back.
Hello, Dave and Wayne, and all listeners to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. This is Fred from the Netherlands with audio feedback number 322 about the Black Mirror movie Bandersnatch from 2018. First off, what am I watching? I did watch Three Body Problem after you all talked about it. I saw all the 8 episodes. I think it's a great series, and I really hope they will get a second season, because there is a terrible cliffhanger. The other thing is that I landed up in season 7 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's the last season. Unfortunately, you didn't do a podcast about it anymore, Dave, with Mike. You only did season 2 till 6. So missing the first and missing the last. So I had to switch now to another podcast. With my wife, we started the series Monk, but I'm not sure if we will continue that. It's about a obsessive, compulsive, autistic ex-cop who solves crimes in a very special way. And this week, probably Wayne will watch it as well. Star Trek Discovery, last season, season 5, started with 2 episodes released at the same time. And I watched the trailer of Fallout. I don't know if I'm going to like that series, but okay, we will see from next week onward. Okay, now about Bandersnatch. It is an interactive movie, and if you go to Netflix, you indeed get choices which are really influencing how the story goes. Of course, I tried different paths. One of them ended actually quite quickly. It's nice that you can go back to a previous choice and then deviate from your previous path. It really gives you a multiverse feeling. According to Wikipedia, the average viewing time is 19 minutes and the quickest is 40 only minutes. It is said that there are 250 segments, yielding over 1 trillion possible paths the viewer can take. Wow. When I see, for instance, when Stefan is visiting Colin at home, Colin offers him some drugs, and then you have the choice, will he take it or not? Well, in one choice he will take it, and in the other choice he won't take it, but then Colin will put it secretly in his drink, so he will get it anyway, with the kind of same result at the end. It's of course nice that the whole thing is about choices. Well, Stefan is developing a computer game where you should decide to go left or right or whatever, and that's the whole story as well. I don't know if there are very positive endings, but there are surely some negative ones. I encountered at least one where Stefan dies very quickly, actually. He jumps over the balcony at Colin's apartment and is just dead, and that's the ending, without a restart. Although you never know in Black Mirror with the credits. I also watched another version where it's just a film of 1 hour and 33 minutes. And that sometimes skips back. And then you get all kinds of different storylines. And actually my conclusion is that you wonder what is the real, the proper storyline. And of course it isn't there. But you still have that feeling. Okay, that would be all for this time. Thank you for the ride of Black Mirror. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Hello to everyone at Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Alan from England here with feedback on the Black Mirror episode, Bandersnatch. It was sensible of Fred, in the last episode, to ask about how we were going to approach this one, as we would likely end up with different choices. My answer was, of course, do all of them. Or at least, enough until you get a reasonable ending. There was a game a few years ago, similar to the concept of humans, that show, about robots getting rights, or not, called, I think, Becoming Human, in which you also made choices and could restart from earlier positions. The first time I played that game to the end, everybody died. The main characters died, the little girl robot died, the family died, just everyone died. I just couldn't leave it there, and I had to go back a few steps to replay that until I got a vaguely satisfactory, positive ending. Same with this show. First time I saw this was on a smart TV, and I enjoyed the novelty of being able to make the decisions and affect the storyline until it started to become very complicated and you kept thinking about the options not chosen. This time I watched, or is it played, this episode on my laptop as I thought it would be easier to go back and change choices, which I think it was, but sometimes you just had to start the whole thing again to be really sure which path or combinations you had chosen. It was also a bit easier when trying to create my spreadsheet. I was totally that age, 15 years old, back in 1981, getting my very first tiny computer, the ZX81 with a 16K memory, which was the forerunner of the ZX Spectrum, which I think they're using on this show. Learning to program basic stuff, typing in game code from magazines, only to have made a tiny mistake and the whole thing crash and mostly disappear. It was the age of kids making proper games in their bedrooms and just starting to move into the corporate world. I remember that 3D Monster Maze game that was so leading edge back in about 1982. I noticed reference to games titles such as Metalhead and Nosedive calling out other episodes, and of course the white bear glyph or symbol. That TV program, reviewing the games and giving those star ratings, effectively scoring your performance, were absolutely spot on in terms of look and feel. After a while, the characters started to refer to making choices, or saying they felt like there was no choice, or recommending taking a different path, which was very meta. So I did start making a spreadsheet of all the decisions and paths and endings, but I eventually gave up. I would have done better with just a giant piece of paper, old school. And when I found someone had already made some proper flowcharts, I didn't feel the need to complete that all myself. I did achieve all the different endings, including one very positive and even more self-referential one that I didn't manage years ago, as I hadn't been able to bring myself to say, no, the game won't be ready on time. That probably says more about my personality and my days of being an actual programmer. Sometimes you weren't sure if making a seemingly trivial choice, like what to have for breakfast or what music to play, would come to affect things massively at the end, but they didn't really. Big decisions involving death and disaster definitely did. A thoroughly enjoyable rewatch and replay. Very much looking forward to Fallout. Take care, Alan from England.
All right, so we just hear from Fred in the Netherlands and Alan in England this week. So I'll just real quickly, Fred brings up Tony Shalhoub and Monk, and it's a show I've never seen. I really like Tony Shalhoub. I first saw him in an X-Files episode way back in probably, 94.
Did you not see him in Wings before that?
Oh, right. That's right. I did see him in Wings. I forgot about that.
That was a great show.
Yeah. And then he was in a Prime Video. I'm sure I've mentioned this show before, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, where he is just phenomenal in that as well. So I don't know that I'm going to ever check out Monk. Never say never. And then, of course, Alan, points out, like you, he enjoys having the ability to make all these choices. So anyway, that's all I got for those two. What do you got?
Just like Alan mentions the super meta aspects. I really love that. And like I said, I'm pretty sure that, like, again, choose with the choice of the cereal and then the choice of the music to listen to early on, that does impact what you get later on. Like, if you choose a different cereal and follow the same path, like when you get to the safe, I think you get different things to different codes to enter into the safe. But that would just require, like, literally probably to watch it for 5 hours and 12 minutes to really be able to explore all of those. Apparently, there's this, like, kind of really very deeply hidden Easter egg ending that I was about to read about when you called, when you dialed in. So now I don't know if I want to read about it or if I'm going to go out. I'll probably never watch this again, except maybe I'll like find that article and I'll just follow the path to see that one. Because I feel like I've gotten to all the endings, especially the five, like I said, the five that they say are the five endings. I definitely got to all of those, but I haven't gotten to that one. But you never know, Dave, if I try to chase that madness, you know, who knows what will happen. I certainly didn't run into any happy endings. Everything was either jail, he dies, you know, kills his dad, kills Colin, the game is just crap because he didn't do it right, you know. It turns out he fights his therapist, he discovers he's on a Netflix set. So I got all of those, but, you know, none of them really ended in any kind of happy manner and everything, so...
All right. Well, Fred, Alan, thank you for the feedback.
I got one more thing to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did want to mention, because this song has literally been in my head all freaking day. It's that Kaja Gugu's Too Shy, which is funny because in the beginning, when he first meets Mr. Thacker, he's talking about music with Colin. I think Mr. Thacker's like, oh, what is this, Kaja Gugu? And then later they play the song, right? And that song is one of the great earworm songs of all time. If you hear 3 seconds of Too Shy, you will not get that song out of your head for days. And right now, and I don't think, I actually like the song, but I just cannot get it out of my head at all. Right now, I'm, you're too shy, shy, hush, hush, I too. All right, Dave, now it's in your head. You're going to have it for days.
Yeah.
You got to pass on. You got to pass on to get rid of it, man.
Okay. All right. Well, next week, listeners, we are going to cover the Amazon Prime Video post-apocalyptic series Fallout. And, you know, I don't know if you've looked. I mean, if you go to Wikipedia, which is usually a pretty decent source for all things television, and what they're showing is all 8 episodes releasing on April 10th.
Yes. I just read that today in Variety.
Well, I find that hard to believe that they're actually going to do that. I mean, I don't want to
Variety, bro. Like, it's a pretty good source.
Okay. Well, the only... Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, the first 3 episodes are directed by Jonathan Nolan, and we talked about how he and Lisa Joy are the creative minds behind, you know, this series. So we'll see. Regardless, we're just going to cover
next week. We're going to do all 8 episodes. So make sure you watch all of them next week.
And we're going to spoil it. Yep. No, we're just going to do the first one, and then we'll see from there. I mean, that hasn't been the Amazon model. It's, you know,
it has not. But they're changing it up this time around, and they're going to release them all at once.
Okay. So,
which, you know, I think, you know, maybe they look at like Westworld and like realize it did week to week. Like, did that hurt it? Right? Did that hurt their numbers and everything? If they had just made an event and dumped all 8 episodes at once, does that mean people are going to watch it? Right? Because that means it's actually, when you think about it, it's pretty clever though, right? Because if they release all 8 episodes at once, then people don't have a chance to dump it, right? Like, people will stay. They'll watch all 8 episodes because they can do it in like a night or 2 nights.
Right. But then they'll cancel Amazon Prime when they're done. I mean, that's the whole reason these services release them once a week, that if you want to watch a show, you got to sign up for at least 3 months.
Right. But I'm wondering if, like, you know, Jonah Nolan and Lisa Joy have enough clout that they could say, listen, we'll do this, but you got to release them at once.
Okay.
So that people can, well, you know, because if that's what you're basing your numbers on, right, it almost doesn't like for Netflix, right? If they're just looking at how many people watch it over that first like 3 days or whatever, what's the point of releasing it a week at a time? Yeah. You want everyone to spend hours and hours watching it over those first couple of days and get, I don't know how the industry works. Despite everything I'm saying, I have absolutely no idea how the industry works. Well, but you're right, because they usually release like three episodes and then one at a time. But this time they're going to dump them all.
Somebody should let Max know that, you know, once Game of Thrones comes back, maybe they should dump it all at once, because, you know.
Well, Game of Thrones is pretty safe.
I know.
Now, my kids were very excited to hear that they're going to get Max back, because I canceled it like 2 months ago. And then I saw the other day, I think probably we were watching basketball, and they had a commercial saying that it's coming back in June. I'm like, oh, hey, you guys are going to get Max back for at least 8 weeks there. So they're all very excited about that.
All right. Well, one final piece of TV news that you'll appreciate, but I'm not sure how it's going to really impact you. You know, we've mentioned to everybody how much both of us love Babylon Berlin. And Netflix had the first three seasons, and season four aired in Europe like 2 years ago. Not only did Netflix never add season four, they deleted Babylon Berlin from their catalog in February.
What? Did they? I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bastards.
So
I would cancel them, except like there are too many people in my family who are just addicted to it, including me.
Okay. And now I got you know, an email. I've mentioned a European streaming service called MHZ, which I had for 7 days, you know, maybe a year ago, and I'm planning to add that in the next few weeks. You know, they're heavy on European shows that we like, big surprise. But I just got an email that they'll be adding Babylon Berlin seasons 1 through 3 in April and season 4 in June.
Okay.
So now that's MHZ. So I don't know if it's going to pop up on a service that you have or whatever, but you know, I'll keep you posted what I learned.
Yeah. Keep me posted, man. Cause, I think, you know, I can get the, maybe I'll actually pay for a month of it to watch Babylon Berlin.
Well, you could wait till it all airs.
I can get the 7 day free trial.
Exactly.
My wife can sign up for the 7 day free trial.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, anyway, that'll do it for this episode of Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Thank you for joining us. Love to hear what you think about Black Mirror, hopefully Fallout in the weeks to come. Anything going on in your genre TV world, check out the Facebook group if you haven't already. We'll be back next week to talk about the series premiere of Fallout on Prime Video. But until then.
Dave, I just want to tell you something. I've done my research and I've discovered something. I know you've been confused.